Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
We, the United States, provide cover for anything Israel wants to do, whether it's criminal or whether it's not.
We're celebrating International Women's Day 2009 with coverage of Code Pink. They've organized a peace delegation to Gaza and are now gathered at the Rafah crossing with women, some men, and young people from Israel, Pakistan, Egypt, and the U.S. The Code Pink delegates intend to hand out gift baskets for women in Gaza. These are a message of hope from people all over the world.
While they're waiting for a,
the 60 Code Pink peace delegates are traveling at the invitation of the Gaza Gender Initiative of the UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA. The founder of Code Pink and group leader, Medea Benjamin, says they will all camp out at the Rafah border if Egyptian authorities prevent them from entering Gaza. At issue, they say, are thousands of Palestinians who have suffered with both the blockade and the war. Many are wounded, many are sick, and some are even starving, due to a blockade of all goods, including food, medicine, and other vital supplies. A growing number of famous Hollywood actors and actresses have been organizing support for civilians in Gaza, and world-famous writer Alice Walker has joined the delegation. Also with the delegation are the parents of peace activist Rachel Corey, an American who was killed in Gaza while protesting the demolition of Palestinian homes. She was run over by a bulldozer. Since most humanitarian aid groups and aid workers have been denied entry to Gaza by both Israeli and Egyptian authorities, UN and independent non-governmental organizations are pressuring the U.S. government to demand that they lift the blockade. Code Pink delegates are also asking the U.S. to demand that Israel halt the latest round of plans for settlement expansion into Palestinian lands. On March 5th, we reached retired U.S. Colonel Anne Wright, who is a former diplomat. Colonel Wright stunned the world when she resigned her post in protest to the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. After seeing the devastation from Israeli bombs that leveled 30,000 homes in Gaza, Anne Wright's post in Huffington Post blog raised the question, can Gaza be rebuilt through tunnels? In addition to the leveling of civilian homes, Israeli warplanes leveled government buildings, schools, medical clinics, and also targeted the UN compound in Gaza, where civilians had run for shelter. 1,330 people were known to have been killed, and between 5,000 and 6,000 were wounded. We caught up with Anne Wright as she and other delegate leaders were meeting in Cairo in preparation for their attempt to cross at Rafah.
We've had 60 people, a briefing that we've been giving them about going to Gaza.
I see. Anne Wright, tell us what's been going on. You know, how are you doing with your efforts to get into Gaza at this point?
Well, right at this point, we have just arrived in Egypt, and we'll be leaving tomorrow morning to drive to the Egyptian border with Gaza, the border crossing called Rafah. And we will attempt to go across the border the following day on March 7th. And we certainly hope the Egyptian authorities allow us to go.
And Anne Wright, what are your impressions thus far of the way this mission that you're on to bring goodwill and call attention to what's happened in Gaza? What are your impressions?
I'm just thrilled and stunned by the numbers of people have dropped everything that they were doing in their lives and in a two-week period made the decision to travel to Egypt and then to try to go into Gaza, knowing that it can be a dangerous place. The ceasefire has not been signed and there could be attacks at the border while we're there. So I'm impressed that these 60 people have decided to come from the United States and Canada and Australia, from Pakistan. So it's amazing that they've all come together with the single purpose of just calling attention to what's going on in Gaza.
You're getting ready to go into Gaza, hopefully through the Rafah crossing. And I know you have several very important people there with you, including Code Pink. You have the Corey's, Rachel Corey's parents. Talk about the delegation and what your hopes are.
It is a very interesting delegation. It's men and women, mostly women, but we've got about 10 men that have signed up on this delegation to go in for International Women's Day in Gaza. People like the Corey's, whose daughter Rachel was tragically run over, killed by an Israeli bulldozer in March of 2003. We have people who are active in their own communities, whether it be in Canada or the United States or in Pakistan. They're very active in peace movements and social action groups. They dropped everything they were doing just to come on this trip at very short notice. So we're really thrilled. We've got people who are university professors. We've got retired people. We've got school teachers. We've got billing accountants. It's really close. We have a young man who's never been outside the United States before, and he said, I've been reading so much about Gaza that when I saw that you all were taking this trip, I just had to go on it. So his very first trip outside the United States is here into Egypt and hopefully into Gaza.
I know you're someone who understands the consequences of war. What are your thoughts about what has happened in Gaza and what Americans should do, what our responsibilities are?
Well, I was in Gaza 3 weeks ago. We were there for a mere 48 hours before the border crossing closed again and has not been open really in the last 22 days. It's part of the continuation of the 18-month blockade or siege that's been going on where the Egyptian borders have been closed as well as the Israeli borders. And when we were in there for the 48 hours, to see the level of destruction of homes, of industries, of government buildings. Certainly, I don't condone the rockets that Hamas has been sending into Israel, the unguided rockets, but the level of disproportionate response by the Israeli military is stunning. It's incredible, where you have huge swaths that have been totally destroyed, all of the housing just purposely blown up, bulldozed, where you have industries, the cement factories. Like, I don't know how in the world they're going to rebuild the place. How do you get the goods in, the construction materials in to rebuild the place that has pretty well been flattened in many areas?
And Hillary Clinton has said that there will be some millions coming from the United States. Can Hillary Clinton do more to help? What else can America do?
Well, I think first, America needs to relook its policies toward Israel. You know, the United States every year gives about $3.5 billion to Israel for the purchase of weapons. And it was American weaponry that the Israeli military used to inflict such harm on Palestinians in Gaza. And I would say in direct contravention to the arms control export regulations. I think the Obama administration must acknowledge that this was an inappropriate use of or an illegal use of U.S. military equipment, and even George Bush the first stopped the shipment of weapons to Israel for a certain period of time because of one of the uses that they had made of it. I think this what happened in the 22 days in Gaza from December into January, definitely the U.S. Congress should suspend Israel from receiving any funding for weapons, and we should stop sending weapons to Israel because of their offensive use of those weapons.
Now, there really hasn't been much of an investigation yet into some of those weapons. I know there was white phosphorus used, Amnesty International documenting that, Human Rights Watch going in too. And, you know, these groups complaining, but also there's the United Nations and the UNRWA organization. And right now at this juncture, is the United Nations, is UNRWA able to get aid across the border? And what are your thoughts about how people can help in that process? Because I know there are people that have just been bombed and are still wounded and starving in Gaza.
Well, the medical treatment is still problematic. Many of the women wounded, though, now have been taken out of Gaza and have gone to hospitals, and primarily into Egypt, although some have gone into Saudi Arabia. some went into Israel, but apparently the Palestinians said, we do not want to have to pay for being treated for the wounds that were caused by the Israeli military, and they were being charged for that. We, the people of America, I think, need to put real pressure on our Congress to say that there needs to be balance in our policies toward Israel and toward Palestinian Authority of the West Bank and Gaza. And if you really look, I mean, I've been in the government almost 40 years, and during that whole time, the United States, under all these administrations, they've had very unbalanced policies on the Israeli-Palestinian issues, that we, the United States, provide cover for anything Israel wants to do, whether it's criminal or whether it's not. Well, the United States says very little about what Israel does. And I think we, as a friend of Israel, you owe them something to tell them when they're doing things that are not, that are actually harming them, which I can see attacks on the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank, and when they went into Lebanon 2 years ago. These have definitely been more harmful, I think, for Israeli national security than enhancing it.
And that's where we lost our phone connection to Cairo. We reached retired U.S. Colonel Anne Wright on March 5th as she met with 60 people of goodwill in Cairo, all preparing to meet with Israeli women at the Rafah border crossing March 7th. Together, they might be able to reach Gaza and help international peace groups put more pressure on the Israeli, Egyptian, and U.S. governments, asking them to open the border into Gaza and let the people of Gaza rebuild their lives. In a moment, we will hear another update from Colonel Anne Wright, taped the morning of March 6th, as the group continues to make their way to the Gaza crossing to try to get into Gaza. Colonel Wright has joined Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist Alice Walker, as well as Cindy and Craig Corey, the parents of peace activist Rachel Corey, who went to Rafah with the International Solidarity Movement and was killed while trying to stop the Israeli Defense Force from demolishing civilian homes there. Another ISM member, Tom Herndel, was also killed. His case led to a high-profile trial that established the guilt of an Israeli sniper, Tasir Haib, convicted of manslaughter and the obstruction of justice by an Israeli military court, and then later found guilty of having intentionally killed Tom Herndel when a British inquest was held. The actions of Israeli forces in the Gaza war have been criticized by human rights groups like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, as well as the UN and Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Political turmoil in Israel has led to even more confusion than usual over which leaders will now determine Israeli policy toward Palestinians. The recent Israeli election led to such a close result that while Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni of the Kadima Party got one more vote than the Likud Party head Benjamin Netanyahu, it was Netanyahu who won support for Israel's hard right. He was asked to try to form a unity government. Israeli civilians and the military are still watching efforts within Israel's Knesset, their parliament, to determine who will assume the most powerful leadership positions. The Obama administration at first held back from commenting on policy on the Gaza war. Then President Obama appointed former Senator George Mitchell as his Palestine envoy, and Mitchell was sent to the region to try to negotiate a ceasefire. He called for an end to the bombing and also called on Israel to open the borders. Later, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton arrived in Israel for talks on a role set for America by the outgoing Bush administration, during which an agreement had been made that U.S. troops would assist with security at Israel's borders. That decision has proven controversial as tensions have been growing within Arab states and European ones over the harshness of Israel's bombing assaults in Gaza. President Obama then appointed former U.S. envoy to Saudi Arabia, Charles W. Freeman, known as Chaz, to chair the National Intelligence Council, an appointment that could have impact, though it's controversial. Freeman is known as someone who could negotiate effectively between the U.S. and Arab states. During the past few weeks, the U.S. State Department has been revealing more about what U.S. policy under the Obama administration will be toward Gaza. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has said the U.S. will make efforts to try to strengthen Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah and will deny any aid to Hamas. Mahmoud Abbas, though, has become very unpopular in Gaza.
He was seen as working with both Israeli and U.S. leaders during a time when Gaza was being heavily bombed by Israel. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has issued calls for an end to rockets from Gaza, and she promised more U.S. millions for reconstruction in Gaza that will be sent to the Palestinian Authority and not through Hamas. Arab states have also contributed to Gaza reconstruction, but unless the region can be stabilized, it's difficult to see how reconstruction and aid work can get started. To make matters even more complicated, not all of the rockets into Israel recently have come from Hamas. The Telegraph UK has been reporting since February that Hamas was not responsible for some rockets launched toward Israel during the time a fragile peace had been negotiated with Hamas. This, according to Israeli security officials who say the Fatah movement was thought to have launched the strikes, and at least one militia group affiliated with Fatah claimed responsibility for some of the launchings. And these are just some of the complexities for peace activists and aid workers trying to support a brokered peace and get desperately needed food and medical aid into civilians in Gaza. U.S. Military Colonel Anne Wright spent 26 years in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. She was a diplomat in the State Department for 15 years, serving in the U.S. embassies of Afghanistan, Sierra Leone, Micronesia, Mongolia, Kyrgyzstan, Grenada, and Nicaragua. She resigned in 2003 in protest of the then-impending invasion of Iraq. In 2009, she co-authored Dissent, Voices of Conscience. We spoke with Colonel Anne Wright as once again she was helping a group of 60 peace delegates prepare to cross into Gaza, they hope, March 7th. And we have Colonel Wright back on the line. What is happening now? Are you still trying to get across the border? Where are you at now?
Well, we have just arrived in the town of El Arish. It's about a six-hour drive from Cairo, and we just arrived and are checking into a hotel. We'll spend the night here, and then first thing in the morning, we'll be traveling to the Rafah border crossing and hoping that we're going to get through.
You know, the headlines say that Egyptian President Mubarak hopes this will be the year of peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Can you echo that theme, and what kind of sense do you have of, you know, how this thing can be turned around?
We certainly agree that this year should be a year that finally peace occurs between the Israeli government and the Palestinians. And because if we have another year of the violence that has occurred in late December and then January of this year, it is terrible for both sides. The Israelis for the moral side of terrible destruction that they caused, and on the Palestinian side, of course, the continuation of rockets that are going in, the unguided rockets. But we certainly hope that there will be peace, so there won't be any other disproportionate responses to things that occur. We hope that everything is peaceful and that both sides will live in peace, that the Israelis will remove themselves from the settlements that they are occupied, and that the true peace accords will be signed.
Now, you have a lot of experience as a diplomat, and I just want to ask you, if you could just sort of read the tea leaves here for a moment. We have big security questions at stake. Where do you think the U.S. State Department might sort of turn right now to try to work in a positive direction that will increase U.S. security across the board and also security in the region?
Well, yes, and I would say that everybody's security is jeopardized when you have these massive attacks like that have happened in January and the attacks that happened in the summer of 2006. I don't believe the Israeli responses to these rockets have at all enhanced their national security. In fact, I think it totally jeopardized it. So I would certainly hope that our State Department puts pressure on the Israeli government and that we have to start talking with all parties in the Palestinian side of it. I think that the issue of Hamas, the elected government of Gaza, I mean, if we really stand for democracy, you can't pick your friends among who have been elected. I mean, you certainly would want to try to influence groups that if any group are firing rockets at in another country, you'd want to use your influence, I would think, rather than just labeling them a terrorist organization and isolating them and blockading and laying siege to the small area that they are the elected government of. So I do hope that our State Department, if the Obama administration really says we need change, we do need to change our foreign policies, in my opinion.
Do you think that with U.S. support for Mahmoud Abbas and Fatah growing, they're trying to strengthen Abbas, do you think that that could actually make things worse? I mean, we have heard reports out of Israeli press that actually groups linked to Fatah took responsibility for some of the rockets, and now here the U.S. stands poised to offer them aid.
Well, I mean, it certainly is a complicated dynamic here where there are all sorts of allegations of coming from all sides about who's doing what to whom. Pardon me. And one could, on one side, if indeed it was the purpose of Abbas and the al-Fatah group to try to undermine Hamas, then their firing weapons would make sense. Although I don't know, I have not seen any conclusive evidence at all that has happened. But I do think there must be a reconciliation between the Palestinians. I mean, that's a critical part of it. And I think the United States needs to be helping with that. I still believe just totally isolating 1.5 million people that live in Gaza and the government they elected is not in anyone's benefit. And indeed, the way to work through that is truly through diplomacy, not through sanctions and blockades.
And finally, do you think it's safe for the State Department and Israeli leaders to start allowing some unity to grow amongst Palestinians? I know there's been talk of unity government or even another version of a new type of group within, let's say, the historical name of PLO.
Well, I think safety for the Israelis, safety for U.S. interests can only be strengthened by an honest recognition that the Palestinian people, whether they are represented by Fatah or by Hamas, that they have been ill-served by what I would call the unbalanced policies of the United States and its virtually total support for Israel, no matter what Israel does, to include what I believe are war crimes that have been committed on the disproportionate use of force on Gaza, the specific targeting of civilians, the use of weapons that by their use on civilians are criminal acts. I think the United States has to, for once, start dealing honestly and squarely with what's going on here. And while certainly it's been the policy of the United States for the protection in one way or that the state of Israel will exist, and I go along with that. It's not that I'm an anti-Israeli, it's just that the unbalanced policies without the recognition that indeed the lands that were identified for the Palestinian people from the international agreement in 1947, we know have been breached so dramatically that they have less than 25% of the lands that were initially given to them through that international accord, that they were not asked about it. They were handed a fait accompli about it. Also, the issue of the walls that have been built up in the West Bank that have sucked territory out of the Palestinian side, where you have Israeli-only highways, you've got Palestinian families that cannot get from their home to their business or to their school or to their agricultural land. I mean, there's a lot of things that we've got to put into this, into the American approach to helping with what we hope will be a peace, a lasting peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That's needed for the safety of all of us throughout the whole world.
Your group must be getting excited. How important would you say it is that you at least symbolically call attention to the vital needs of civilians? I mean, especially now as we're ending the Bush administration, very hard years where civilian rights sort of slipped.
Well, indeed, we are very excited about getting to the border to be there. We will join various groups that are already there and a major delegation that will arrive tomorrow night, the 100-vehicle convoy coming in from London filled with supplies. I think we're all take very seriously our being here in terms of that we do represent so many people who are unsure of what they can do to try to influence the situation, try to stand as a witness to a blockade that is jeopardizing security, that is really, I would say, in a violation of international law and humanitarian law, of purposely isolating 1.5 million people, and this has been going on for a year and a half now, to the level that inadequate food, sewage facilities that have not been rebuilt after bombings from times past. Here it is going into a month after the attack that construction materials have not been brought in because of the blockade. People are still living in tents. There's no end in sight for the misery that the civilians that live in Gaza are facing. And so we, in trying to assess, you know, what happens to civilians in times of attacks by other groups, whether it's Hamas or other militant groups that have been firing unguided rockets into the areas around the border with Israel, something that I do deplore. I would plead with Hamas and the other groups not to fire those, because the response from the Israeli military is indiscriminate, in my opinion. They are attacking both militants and civilians and destroying civilian homes. And the civilians have really been taking the brunt of what's been going on. And we would plead with all sides to stop injuring anyone, and particularly the civilians.
Ann Wright, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your interest, and we hope to talk with you tomorrow and hopefully when we're in Gaza.
Best wishes.
Thank you.
We will, of course, contact the Code Pink and Women for Peace delegation tomorrow, and listeners can follow the progress of the 60 delegates that are marking International Women's Day, hopefully with a visit to Gaza, and you can follow their progress online at codepinkalert.org. This special is produced at WHUS FM 91.7 at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut, and we're a Pacifica affiliate station airing Pacifica's news shows, including Democracy Now! And FSRN, Free Speech Radio News. This is Dori Smith, producer of Talk Nation Radio. You can hear our program Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or find us online at talknationradio.org. We welcome Reality Radio, WPRR 1680 AM, to our growing list of stations airing Talk Nation Radio. WPRR is a Pacifica affiliate in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can also hear Talk Nation Radio on Portsmouth Community Radio, 106.1 FM, KRFP Radio, Free Moscow, Idaho, WKNH Keene, 91.3 FM and 98.3 FM, Radio Driftless, as well as KWMD FM 90.7 in Alaska, Radio Veronica, WCRS Columbus Community Radio 102.1 and 98.3 FM in Central Columbus, Ohio, No Lies Radio online. And if we didn't mention your station this time, we will next time. Please let us know at talknationradio@gmail.com if you'd like us to update our list of weekly stations to include you. With U.S. newspapers literally going out of business and the corporate press still failing Americans and not able to locate the story, it's never been more important that we support our free press. The Pacifica Network family of stations, shows like Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, plus all great shows heard on community radio, netcasting, and LPFM stations. Join us next time as Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America talks about the state of America's media.